You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Actually, it is not Nick and Audrey tonight because we've had a bit of a snafu. So what do you do when you have a snafu?
You invite your friend.
You tell Becca-licious because she is here.
And voila, here we are.
And I think it's going to be fantastic because we are going to have a night with you that is going to be off the charts.
Yes.
Because what do you do when you have a weird day or a weird evening or things that are unexpected happen? You have to be spontaneous. You got to be in the moment. You got to change the plan.
Just like that.
Yep.
And you talk about it.
Yeah, we do.
And then we talk about it.
So before we get into all the interesting things that we're going to talk about, I want to let you know that we have a sponsor. It's Agellum Products, and Nick and I have been using them for years and years, if you've ever heard of Nerium. Mm-hmm. That's why
Very
I have
much.
Less wrinkles than I probably would have had at 58. And then also, yes, if you're interested, you can let me know afterwards, and I will connect you with my source. Ha.
And yes, because I'm interested.
Oh, I have something for you.
Remind me
before we leave. And then the other thing I want to discuss is we have a lot of events coming up. The events that are coming up start with, let's see, Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, I have a women's group. And we have been meeting for a while now, and these women are jamming up in their life. They're leveling up. They're making things happen. And it's on Zoom, and it's also in person. With social distancing, of course.
Yes.
And then, coming up, because Nick talks about it a lot, this thing that's happening on the 21st, just a mere week away, is this huge, I guess you want to say it's this just huge moment in time for a lot of different reasons. So on the 20th, we are going to be having a online Zoom and in-person meditation where we are going to be sending out some massive light in the world. And we're going to be holding that place for peace, for compassion. We're going to be doing a meditation like you have never seen before, just saying. So if you're interested in that, let me know. I'm going to be putting it up on our calendar on newmontcenter.net. And then on Monday, we are going to be having Deepa here. Deepa Love, she is going to be having a sound bath. And I think that might be online as well, but I'm not 100%. So it'll definitely be in person. And that's going to be also a day that we're going to be meditating and holding the highest. So we have some fun stuff that's coming up.
I'm excited. I'm going to be there.
Coming up. Good thing.
I'm going to be at the Newmont Center on Sunday night, and on Monday. I'm not going to miss any of it. And I'm going to shine just as bright as I can possibly shine.
So you shine bright too. Can I tell that story?
Yes.
All right. So that's going to be one of the fun things that we're going to talk about today.
Yes. Yes.
But Beck and I were talking about it before we came on because I switched gears. And we're going to be talking about some things today that are challenging.
Yes.
But everybody's dealing with them.
Yes.
Things that are, let's just say, hard, but everybody's dealing with it. So if you're feeling like you don't want to dig into some interesting conversation that might be a bit challenging, but we'll get to the good stuff at the end of it, then hop off now. Just go ahead and leave, and it'll be okay. And we'll continue on without you. And for those of you that want to stay, be ready to level up, because this is going to be one of those conversations that might just shake your world.
That's
okay?
Right. That's right.
Kirby, are you ready? And thank you very much for the compliment on my hairs today. I have naturally curly hair, and so I just take a little wand and I make them a little better.
Love it.
Thank you. So with that being said, let's start with the good stuff and then get into the hard stuff and then go back to the good stuff again.
Yes.
So I want to talk about the good stuff with you. So Becca came to me one time. She was having a big ass challenge. She was having a hard time, and she was having to go, can I say, She had to go to court in the morning, and she was up against some people that were, let's just say, unscrupulous, unkind, kind of really bad people, like hard bad people. And she was feeling at the effect of them. She was also feeling at the effect of the judge. And I don't know what's going on over here with this. Anyway, it was a hard time. And she was really going to be having a lot that she might lose in the situation. So when she came in, I told her, I said, Becca, this is one of those moments where you have to own your ability to be the sun. And what did I say? You want to tell them the sun analogy?
Can I say it?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly the way you said
Wait, you got to say that at the end. You got to tell them what the sun analogy is first.
You tell them the sun analogy.
All right. So the sun analogy is, for all of us, there is, well, let me back it up a little bit. And you think about the sun, it's up in the sky and it's the biggest thing around. And the sun, just being the sun, the sun's bringing in energy and it's putting it back out. So the sun's just, I'm the sun. And sometimes we're acting like the sun. We're energetic beings. So we're just owning our space in the world and we're saying, I am that. I am, and I am powerful, and I create my life magnificently, and I just do all these great things. I don't even think about it. I'm just on. But sometimes we're acting like the moon, and when we're acting like the moon, we're at the effect of other people, other things. We're at the effect of. We're not owning our power, and sometimes we're the dark side of the moon. Actually, this whole conversation came about one day. I was in session with, let's just say, two people. And one of them was having problems with addiction, and the other one was the parent. And the person with the problem with addiction, it wasn't just drugs, alcohol. It was drugs, alcohol, material things. It was a lot of things. And I was trying to explain to the person with the addiction and the father what that looked like. And out of my mouth came this whole thing with the sun and the moon analogy. And I'm explaining, you're acting like the moon. You're not owning your power. You think you need drugs. You think you need alcohol. You think you need all this stuff to make you whole. And you're missing the part where you're already whole. You're already powerful. So sometimes, and it was the case with this person, they're with the dark side of the moon. So it's like all this stuff in the world isn't going to give you what you need. So in this particular day, when I'm talking with Miss Becca here, I'm explaining to her, when you go into court in the morning, you own your power. You own your ability to say, I don't even care what you're doing. I am doing this. I'm owning this. This is who I'm choosing to be. And then you said, what'd you say?
Can I say it?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm the fucking sun. Come a little closer.
It was
perfect. When you are the sun and you are that big and that bright, if they get too close, they're going to get burned. And what happened the next day?
She called me after she was in court and she was like, oh my God, I went in there and I owned my shit. And I'm telling you, it was like, I was like, what? She went in there, the judge, the lawyer. I mean, she switched the energy on that thing and turned it around.
It did. It turned around. Absolutely, it did. And I want you all to know, I use that almost daily now, all the time.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you are in those moments and you think that you're at the effect of someone or you need something outside of yourself, there's a part where you step back and you question, am I being the moon? Because it's all right to be the moon. The moon is when we're all emotional and we're angry, we're worried, we're, you know, stressed out, all of those things. It's normal to be that. In fact, today, a big part of our conversation is about that. A lot of times people don't even get that they're being the moon. I have had a lot of clients, even lately, where they have pushed their feelings down and pushed their feelings down, and they're not owning their ability to look at the stuff, see it for what it's worth, and take those actions, own your ability to transform the thing. They literally just shove everything down to the point where they're not owning their power at all. They're the dark side of the moon. So just saying, right now, where everything is kind of gnarly and a lot of people are experiencing lockdown, a lot of people are experiencing all of these things, this is a moment to recognize your power to work through them. And today's conversation is kind of intended to help you all, help us, me, you, Becca, all of us be able to work through this time with a bit more grace, with a bit more intention.
Yes.
And a lot more power. So what was that other thing that we wanted to talk about? That thing that's now, this is where you want to like go if you don't want to hear it, but you might want to stay and tough it out with us, because what we're talking about is...
May I?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about illness and how it can affect you. And the reason we were bringing it up, one of the things for me that Audrey and Nick have been so great at teaching me is to be very authentic and always really just talk about what's going on. And I think that especially right now, it's really important that we talk about that and our feelings and so forth. And so in my life, my mother was put in the hospital last week. Wow, it's interesting. My heart just started beating really fast with the possibility, I'll say the possibility because there's still a lot of things we don't know yet. They found a mass in her pancreas. They found a mass in her abdomen and they found three small things in her lungs. And I had to really take my moment of practicing what I've learned from Nick and Audrey and in their practice and absorb it into my practice. And, you know, yes, there's that moment where I fell apart and there's that moment where I had to just, you know, be alone. And I found myself in a, you know, really awkward, bad mood. And I put myself in meditation and I went back to being the fucking sun. And I've just decided that I've got to be that in order to be there for my mother, be there for me. And remember, I still have a family. I've got a husband and kids, and this is real life. This is what really happens. And I am going to walk through this as the sun with this energy, with this power. And I'm going to layer it with grace and love. And I have decided to be the oak tree for my mother that she can lean upon and be there for. And there's so many layers to what I'm talking about. You know, yes, we create things and yes, things happen. And yes, things happen that are out of our control. But what can we control? We can control what's happening within us.
Absolutely.
Now, that doesn't mean that I didn't just, you know, I fell apart and then I became the sun and I'm like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. And the next day I woke up and I fell apart again. I'm just being real with you. That is what happened to me. This is my experience. And I'm sure I will continue to find that balance. But having this analogy of being the sun is so important and it centers me. And even today I found myself just basking in the sunlight. And even though it was cold and there was a cold wind, if you stood long enough, you could feel that warmth. And that's what I imagine now. I'm radiating that energy to my mother
right
at this time, because she's not feeling well. So she's home now and we're making her as comfortable as possible. We still have to go through tests to find out, you know, what degree she's at, where, you know, is it something that can be fixed? Is it something she can have treatment on? Does she want to?
Yeah.
And that leads to another layer. You know, everyone just expects the patient will, you know, wake up and do the treatment or, you know, whatever it is. And I've decided again that I will not only be the oak tree, but I will honor whatever my mother feels is the best route for her. She needs to make that decision.
Yeah.
And I won't judge her. I won't judge her on whatever she decides to do. But yeah. I think sometimes, even as children, you know, you want your, it's not that I don't want her to fight. It's not my decision.
And I'm going to say something important. I think it's extremely important because I have dealt with this since back at my practitioner training. And let's just bring up what we're dealing with here, the possibility of your mother passing.
Right.
And when I was a practitioner, we had to study death. And I remember that first year of studying it, I was a mess. I mean, we had to write our own funeral. We had to literally go to a funeral. We had to do all of this stuff and literally look at something that I had really tried not to look at all for my whole life at that point. So I was so bothered. I couldn't figure out what I was bothered about. And finally, I just said, oh my God, I got to like put this off. I'm not even going to think about it anymore until the answer comes to me on why I'm so bothered. So it was a whole year later. I'm in PRAC training too. And I was going to my class. And again, we're studying death because when you're a spiritual practitioner, we're dealing all day, every day with people's lives and people making their transition. And there's this whole part of it where we have to be there for each other. So as I'm driving to class this particular day, remember I had set my intention and said, I'm not going to think about this until I have the answer. Out of nowhere, as I'm driving to class, the answer came. And it was like out of the blue. And I was like, oh my God, this isn't my belief about death. This is what I took on as a kid about death. And I remembered being a kid and being so terrified that I would die, that I would literally go and I would get into my brother's bed and just be next to another person, another warm body, because I was so scared. I was so terrified because think about it. From the day that you were understanding things, it's like, heaven forbid, one day you're going to die. And they keep bodies alive when their brain is dead because, heaven forbid, they're going to die. And they make it the worst, most horrible thing ever. And so it's a belief that I took on about death. But here I am learning about life and learning about energy and learning about who I am, which is an eternal being. So in reality, there is no death. There is a moment when the soul, think about the car analogy. The car is the body, the driver is the soul, and it's an energy-powered car. So we're just driving these bodies until we don't drive them anymore. And then our soul goes on to the next expression of its self. And I know this to be true because I've had a few experiences along the way that have showed me this is very true. And I'm going to tell you a couple of those experiences because there's a lot of people that say, oh, that's a bunch of nonsense. Nobody can know what happens after you pass and all of this stuff. Well, you know what? Everybody's got, again, their own beliefs around it. But I'm going to say for me personally, what I learned at Agape, my spiritual center, and what I've learned since then, if nothing else, it gives me comfort and it allows me to be the sun and it allows me to look at this whole experience that we are living, all of us right now, that we don't need to mention. It is what it is, but everybody is so terrified that they will get this and not be present on the planet.
Right.
When most people don't even have to worry about that, but we will do all of these things. Because heaven forbid, we don't want to get that, or we don't want somebody that we know to get that from us, which is understandable. I get it. But if we take out that belief system that death is the worst thing ever, it changes it somewhat and it takes the fear out of it, which is really, really important right now. So my first experience with death was my mother. And she called me up one day. She's like, God, I'm in the hospital. I was on a plane 3 hours later. And I told her that I'll be there with you for the whole experience. And there was a point in the experience where she was really having a hard time. And I told her this one day. I said, Mom, it's okay. Pretty soon, you're going to be in a different place. It's going to be beautiful. And I painted this whole picture for her. And It was, I don't even know how much later. It was this one day she was in the hospice and I was brushing my teeth. And my mother was a rock and roller. And she was, I mean, she had a, I was there staying at her place, driving her car. She had a Trans Am with a Corvette engine that was like, blah, 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 blah. And every station was to like rock and roll music. And so this one day, it was the day before she died. She was in a bit of a coma. And I'm in the bathroom and I'm brushing my teeth. And this song came into my mind. It was, I'm going to free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. And I was like, what a perfect song for right now. I mean, that's like perfect for my mother.
Right.
And it was the next day she passed. And to be clear, she was still a bit in fear about it. So it was a challenging thing. But she passed, and I finally was able to leave the hospice. I get into her car, and I go to turn it on, and that song right on the radio. And I was literally like, and I started to laugh, and I started to cry. Right. And I was like, oh, that's just too much of a coincidence, right? So then my husband, who everybody knows, he's a channel, he does all these things. He calls me up later and he said, Audrey, your mother came to me after she had passed and she said, tell Aud she was right. I hadn't told him what my mother had said. And it was like she was validating that picture that I painted for her. Her leaving the body and transitioning and moving into that next experience was, you know, accurate. But then something really amazing happened. It was about a year later, and we had some friends over for dinner, and one of them was this woman, Lisa White, who is very blessed and gifted, like, you know, she's a medium as well. And so at a point in the evening, I took her and this other girl upstairs, and I was showing them some of the things that my mother had left. It was jewelry. And Lisa is literally holding this jewelry. And by the way, this is one of those people or pieces. It's so funny that I'm wearing it today.
That's
right?
That's crazy.
And it's not
it's
the
beautiful.
One.
Beautiful.
But it was definitely one of my mother's pieces. So Lisa's literally holding this jewelry and she's saying, your mother is saying this, like giving Lisa a message to tell me about this jewelry. And then the crazy thing happened. Lisa stepped out. If you've ever seen Nick Channel Merlin, it was kind of like that. Lisa stepped out and my mother stepped in. And my mother was telling me that she had been looking back on her life and she was doing kind of like a review and that she said, I wish I had spent more time with you and your brother instead of those cats. And I remember looking at Lisa and going, how do you know that? And then I was like, oh. You're my mother. And it was like, Lisa never knew my mother had a cattery and she would spend hours with those cats and literally not very much time with my brother and I at all. And so I looked at her and I was like, ah, and I was able to tell my mother, it's all right. Everything that ever happened to me, all of this stuff brought me to where I am right now. And where I am is a good place.
Right.
And I needed to learn all the things that I've learned. So it was all right. It's all good. And my mother left at a point, and when she did, it was like this energy went from her to me. Mm. And if you could imagine what a wave of just pure love felt like, it was like that. And it was just this blessing. It was a really big gift. And Lisa, you know, came back in. And the strangest thing, it was like Lisa really kind of looked like her and she sounded like her. And it was like this whole like unexpected, spontaneous, like blessed moment. And one of the funny parts about it, my teenage daughter at the time
right.
is down the hall. She's literally like, you guys are freaking me out. So it was like, you know, it's like you have to really be clear. We come into these human bodies to live in love. We come here to be in joy. And we come here to have this experience of that thing we just did, laughing. And we come here to have the fullness of it all. So when we're spending too much time in fear, too much time, you know, dreading something that's going to happen to all of us. It's like, it's not in our best interest. So whatever you believe, pick something that's going to make you feel better about it.
Right.
You know?
And talk about it.
Right.
That's why I thought it was important. And that's partly why we decided to talk about it tonight is I think we forget as a society to talk about it.
I don't think we forget. I think it's because we're so programmed. It's so uncomfortable. It's so scary that we literally like, let's put it back there, way back there. I don't want to look at it. But unfortunately, it's in the trunk. You know, it's something that is continually there. And in a moment like right now, where there is this, unfortunately, like this thing that's going around that's creating death for people, it's like, what are you supposed to do with that? You're not supposed to look at it because it's too scary, but it's there. So, you know, it creates this moment of inability to own your power to do just about anything.
Right.
So a lot of people are going into addictions. A lot of people are committing suicide. There's people that are doing all kinds of stuff right now, unconscious behavior, dark side of the moon behavior, because it's just too painful because they don't know how to literally talk about it. So when you are talking about it, make it okay. Make it all right to love somebody in the midst of all of it. And when you are going through a moment like you're going through, have compassion for each other. Right. And understand everybody deals with it differently. So if somebody's angry, there's your compassion. Somebody can't stop their crying, it's okay. Right. Have compassion. You know, you've got to literally be there for each other, however each other shows up, and not judge how somebody deals with their grief around things.
Right.
You know?
I will continue to be the sun.
Yeah. Well, the other thing about being the sun in this kind of moment, when we are in the grief too much, when we are focused on the problem, it's really hard to help a person when you're in the problem of it. You know, when you are able to step back and be a bit more calm, then you're going to think more clearly. When you're being calm and you're focused on whatever solutions, you're able to be a place for that person or all your family and everybody else that's going through these moments.
Right.
It's a lot.
It can be. It definitely can be. Yeah. And there's a lot of physical things that I had to go through this weekend, too. And I'm only in the early stages of this. I mean, again, we don't know what it's going to look like, you know, what this whole thing is going to look like. But physically, I found myself more tired. Yeah. And so it's also knowing that while someone's going through this, to have compassion for yourself.
Yes.
And allow myself to have more baths, more sleep, more meditation, more whatever that looks like, so I can take good care of myself.
Absolutely.
So I can take care of her. And I will make you laugh because one of my intentions right now is no matter what the outcome is, no matter what doctors say, treatments, whatever that looks like, my intention is to get through it with grace and love and love her and create good memories. And so I laughed because last night I made her dinner. Now, you guys have to imagine, this is a typical Mexican mama. And I mean, she makes tortillas from scratch. Everything is from scratch. And she knows how to cook like unbelievable. I did not get that blessing. That is not my forte. I can sing, but I cannot cook like that. I can cook a little bit. Anyway, so I just laughed because last night I came home and I made her a hamburger patty, a very lean hamburger patty with avocado on top and lots of squash and just a little bit of cheese on top. And I handed it to her. And I said, I think you're going to have to start liking my cooking no matter what. Damn it, you're going to have to eat it. And, you know, she was very gracious and we laughed and we giggled. I said, it's not your cooking, but it'll do. And she said, oh no, it was good. And I thought, she's a good liar. So I'm looking for those little moments where we can laugh and
yeah. it's important.
Yeah, of course.
Levity in any moment. I mean, that's healing. They literally have done all these different, if you watch a movie called Heal, there's a whole bunch of movies out there. The Cure is, these different movies where they have people who have very serious challenges and they use all different kind of methods to have healing happen in the body. And one of them is laughter.
Yes.
I mean, laugh. Watch a funny movie. Take your mind off of the fear, because fear is creative. It literally causes dis-ease. That's another reason why you want to get to a good place with regard to your thoughts, your beliefs around all of this. The more that you can be in a place of calm and find things to level up with, the healthier you're going to be.
Right.
Another thing to do is watch Joe Dispenza. Joe Dispenza has a lot of really great information on healing in the body. And the other thing I want to say is, and we talked about this a little bit the other day, when you go to the doctor and they say whatever it is that they say, I have been to a few doctors who either didn't know what I had, or they'll tell me, oh, this is what you have. Like, I went to a chiropractor once and they showed me my spine and they were like, oh, this is a problem and this is a problem. And literally you could drive over a bump the wrong way and it could be like, you know, like glass shattering. And I was like, oh, I literally was getting sick. And it really taught me something valuable. And I tell this to my clients, and I think it's super important to own your word, even with doctors.
Yes.
So I tell my clients, and I learned this from this doctor, so whatever it is that you have, whatever the diagnosis is, instead of if the doctor wants to say, well, it could be this, or it could be that. And if it's this, here's all the things that could happen. And if it's that, here's all the things that could happen. You can stop them. You have every power to do that. It's your right. You literally can stop them and say, wait a minute. Let's figure out exactly what it is first. So if I need to get another test, let's get another test. And you figure out exactly what it is.
Right.
And then don't tell me what the things are that could happen. Let's just focus on what I need to do to change it. So what do I need to do to make myself healthier? And that is absolutely your right. You do not need to hear all of the stuff that creates fear around it and puts an idea in your head. There's been a lot of studies around this. There's been literally somebody who, there's been all kinds of study. I'm not going to go into the details because that would take me down a whole nother avenue. But I'm just going to say, Nick and I are teaching a class on this in January, Healthy Mind, Healthy Body. And we go through the different body syndromes and what literally creates these things. And I had a kidney stone years ago. The doctor told me, well, you're going to have to pass this thing and it's going to be really hard. And if it's too painful, you can take the extra meds that we gave you to go through the pain. And if it gets really gnarly, you can come back in here, but there's a lot of whatever going on. And it was like, oh. And in my mind, I'm thinking, what if I don't pass it at all? What if I just dissolve it and get rid of it? That's what I did. I literally got rid of it. I didn't have to pass it. I didn't go through any pain around it. I recognized what it was. Kidney stone is literally lumps of undissolved anger. I knew what was causing it. I knew exactly what the thing is. And I had an opportunity in that week to really see it in full force. And it started to get rearing its little head. And I was like, no, 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 no. And I did this whole process energetically, let it go, never came back.
Love it.
Yeah. So you're powerful in your body. You're right. Very powerful in your body. So there's this part of all of this where you have to own your belief around who you are. Are you the sun? Are you the moon? You're the dark side of the moon. All of it's okay. But where do you want to live? When you're the moon, that's where we learn. That's where we gain all of that information. That's where we start figuring out what the belief systems are. So what else do we want to talk about? We've got another,
Were there any questions?
Were there any questions? You know what? I think something happened with my live stream.
Okay.
But I don't have any questions. If anybody does have any questions, you are more than welcome to ask. But now maybe we should get into a fun conversation.
I think it's time to lighten up the load a little bit.
Yeah, I know that's a lot. And you know what? I get it that a lot of people won't discuss that. You know what? I want to share one more thing about this because it's important. You're driving the car and you get to choose in a lot of ways where you're going. And I had this wonderful, wonderful friend of mine, Lois, who her mother passed away. And she came in, she was in a good place with it. It was lovely. She's a bit of a mentor for me. And she was telling me, and I asked her, I said, well, you know, was it peaceful? And she said, oh, it was very peaceful. She had a fabulous day. She went to lunch with her friends. She had an extra dessert. She did all these things. It was a great day. And then she passed in her sleep. And I was like, that's an idea. Why don't we just choose ahead of time? Because a lot of times people will be here and they're worried that they're going to have something that's going to be painful. It's going to be long drawn out. It's going to be a horrible thing. That's where your brain goes. There's an option.
That's a road that you're creating.
Mm-hmm. And then there's another road that I've decided on. It's like, well, actually, if you read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, there's all kinds of ways that you can exit. There's people who will literally meditate on out.
Right.
So I've decided that sleep idea is a good thing. And having an extra whatever in that day and just letting it be, I've had a great life and I'm done. So if you're worried about those kind of things, put your attention on what it is that you do want. Right?
I'm going to make you laugh.
Okay.
You guys ready for a laugh?
Yes.
So Aunt Barbara is 93 years old back in October 2019. And she's an old famous Hollywood actress, and she was getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. And in the audience that night was another 93-year-old man who used to have a crush on her when he was a teenager. And he met her and she met him, and that was it. They fell in love immediately. And from October until our shutdown in March, they traveled everywhere. They took cruises everywhere. They've been all over the place. And they've continued to see each other here and there and here and there. And she's having a few little health problems and health issues. But here's the thing, because I helped take care of her as well. And I said, Aunt Barbara, I hope you're having sex with that man. And that's when you decide to drop your body. And she just screams laughing. But I'm serious. I am very serious. And when COVID hit, you know, the big thing is, oh, you can't travel. Oh, no, you can't see him. And I thought, well, first of all, they've been with each other and they had continued to see each other. So they were really more like family. And so we've gone out of our way to make sure she's got her ride up there and her ride back, and she's very safe, and she's, you know, keeping her 6 feet away. And we, but when they're together, they're together. And I love that. I hope that's the way she decides to go. But she's now 94 years old. On January 4th, she's going to be 94 years old. And he just came down here today, and they're going to be with each other another 2 weeks. And good for you. So that's how I'm going to model my life.
So that, in the last little bit, I'm going to discuss one more thing. It's about life then. So here she is at 93, meeting a love of her life.
Oh, and she will tell you, this is the love of her life.
Right.
This is truly, she's had 3 or 4 husbands and many lovers, and this is the love of her life.
So this is reminding me of my Lois that I'm talking about. You talk about somebody, and I'm going to just say, for a lot of my clients, they come in and I show them the timeline tool. So we have our timeline, and here's where we are in the choice point. Like, for instance, I've got some kids that are 20, and I tell them, you have four more lifetimes of what you've already done to live. So when they're like, oh, whatever, in the moment, it's like, it's just a moment. Learn from it, grow from it, move on. So my Lois comes in, and she had the love of her life that she married. It didn't work out. She meets another love of her life. Unfortunately, he passed. She moves on. She meets another love of her life. It was great, but it wasn't exactly what she needed at the time. And here she is, I think she was 62. And she was like, well, I'm going out. And she did that, you know, where you have lunch with people.
And I'm like, quick dating thing where you sit down and you have a quick lunch. And, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So she's having lunch with people and she starts dating like three of them. One's a baker, one's a banker, and the other one is this Frenchman. And I'm telling you, she lands on the Frenchman. He has been, so he's 62. They've been together for 20 years now. And there it is, the love of her life. And I'm telling you, I've got clients at 50. It's like, they think it's over. It's not over at all. It's only over in here if you want it to be over. It's like every moment.
I feel like I have another 50 years here. Absolutely.
So there's that thing, living, enjoying, being present, owning who you choose to be in the moment.
And
what?
To circle it all around, we were talking about death, and that's part of the beauty and the contrast is we do have this. So live.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Live. Drink that wine. Have that chocolate.
Eloise,
or not.
Eloise would say not to the chocolate.
And no.
Maybe one glass of
just
wine.
Just the seeds candy. Just a little bit of seeds candy.
Hold on. We have a few more minutes. Let's talk about Eloise.
Oh.
Eloise is our healer person. And I'm telling you, she is just, we love her. And it's one of those things we go to her and we come back out and it's like, went to see Eloise.
Yes, we went to see Eloise. Would you like to tell them what she does?
She does colonics. And just, I went to her when I was 50. Actually, I went to her when I was in my early 40s. And it was just, you know, she helped me get through the pregnancy with Milena, my youngest. And then at 50, I was really sick. And it was like, should I go to the doctor or should I go to Eloise? I chose Eloise and literally my body had stopped working. And she took 6 months and got it back working again. And did you know that?
6 months?
It took 6 months. This time it's taking nine. But it's interesting. In our bodies, there's all these things that happen. And I had asked her on that 50 time, I said, Eloise, if I had gone to a doctor, what would they have done? She's like, well, they probably would have put you on steroids and they would have done whatever. And it wouldn't have fixed the core issue of what was going on with you.
Right.
And I asked her, I said, so Eloise, I think I was pretty sick at the time. And she's like, actually, you were on the edge of the cliff. So sometimes it's really a good idea to listen to the experts that tell you, look, if you want to be healthy, you need to eat green things, firsthand touched by the sun. So there's that part about life and living. And this has been a conversation lately because, again, people are so worried about what's going on. And I was talking with my other doctor, Kimberly Bennett, and we were saying that a lot of the people who get overly sick with this are living in fear, which brings down the immune system.
Oh, wow.
They're eating processed food.
Right.
Which doesn't do a lot for the health of the body. And we were talking about it, and there's certain things, if you just do this, you're going to make yourself healthier and healthier and healthier, and you don't have to worry about your body being overcome by a virus. Your body will have the tools to fight the virus. So when I'm talking with my clients, there's this part about it, back to the sun analogy, eat food firsthand touched by the sun. Our body is an energetic thing. So when you're eating food that's firsthand touched by the sun, you're getting that energy and your body knows what to do with it. Then there's food secondhand touched by the sun. That would be maybe like eggs, whatever kind of meats, fishes, different things like that. If it's getting to the point where it might be third hand touched by the sun, which I said yesterday, it's like Cheez-Its.
Chicken McNuggets.
They're not going to do a lot of good things in the system. It's not going to build up the immune system. So in this moment where you want to stay alive and you want to be healthy and you want to be vibrant in your body, eat like that and eat organic. Because again, unfortunately, there's things like glyphosate in food that's not organic.
Can you believe that we actually have to have a conversation where the food you buy, you have to look to see if it's organic?
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't think it just be organic?
It should be.
It really should just say, over here is the food with all the chemicals. Mm-hmm. That's how it should be. Everything else is organic.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, think about that, right? There's exactly. Somebody up there going, they got it all wrong.
Right. So to live a more healthy, vibrant life, get your butt out in some sunshine. Get some of that vitamin D. You know, do things that make you laugh. Watch things that bring you up rather than down. Like we as a family have been watching Schitt's Creek. It's so funny. So do things that bring more joy into your life. And if you find yourself going down that rabbit hole of, oh, this is a hard thing, own your ability to process through it. Don't live there. Learn there. Right?
Take some time out for yourself. Be yes. alone. You don't have to go do what Audrey does. We don't have to go away in the wilderness in a tent. We just go to the beach. But really, take the time to be in nature and enjoy.
Nature, you have to think of it this way. We're energetic beings. Right. Literally, our heart's producing electromagnetic energy. Talking to the 50 electromagnetically energy powered cells, 50 trillion of them, the earth is an energetic thing. When we're out in the earth and there's not a lot of electronics, your body resonates. It's able to be more calm, especially when you go to the ocean. There's a lot of negative ions there. There's all these ways that you can be more healthy in your body. So if nothing else, taking an Epsom salt bath and laying in there and just focusing yeah. on, like we're all about to go into a new year. What do you want for the new year? What do you want to create for yourself? And then what actions can you take to get there? You know, start thinking about these things now. You've got a few more weeks before the new year. A couple more weeks before the new year starts. So, you know, start planning ahead so that you know where you're driving to.
And alive. Remember, if you guys need any help, the best person who can help you with that is right here, Miss Audrey. She Thank can really you. Help you focus in. She can help you make your path for the new year, help you put together a vision board and focus on it.
Actually, look into creating a vision board for your new year.
Right.
And if you're thinking in your mind anything about the challenges that we're facing right now, I'm having a very strong feeling that pretty soon a lot of this is going to be resolved. So everybody put your attention on divine right action taking place, whatever the thing is. I mean, whatever it is that happens, put your attention on the what you want to happen, not on the fear, not if, oh my God, this one gets it, that could happen. If that one gets it, that right. could happen.
Right.
No, divine right action's taking place. We're all moving into greater and greater freedom. We're moving into greater abundance, greater health. How are you going to create that in your own personal life? And then how do we all create that as a global community?
Right.
We have a choice. Right?
Right.
Own the choice.
And that's why I'm excited about your meditation. That's one of the things you're going to do is they're going to focus on, you said it to me today, being the sun and exuding that energy out so that we can then send it out to the world at large. And I think we need more of that.
Right. If we do. And I'm doing it. Nick and I are doing it here at Newmont Center. But there's a whole bunch of people, I think, that are going to be creating meditations for that moment because it is energetically a very, very powerful time. So it's a good time to create.
Are you also offering it on Zoom?
Yes.
Nice. And yeah. how do they find the information again?
NewmontCenter.net.
Oh, I love that.
So we are done with our time. Thank you all for joining us in this spontaneous conversation. This is not at all what I had planned for this evening, and I'm really very, very, very grateful for you. Aww. You've made it delightful, made it a lot of fun, even in a heavy conversation that needs to be had sometimes. So you guys go out and be in love.
Yes.
Be compassionate with each other. Be patient. Remember, this is just a moment that we're all going through. There is an end point, and it's going to be a good life. Okay?
It already is.
It is. Well, yes, and it's going to be even better, as you and Ed would say.
Yes, that's right. And it's getting
so
better.
We'll, Yes. We'll love to be seeing you next week. And remember to share with your friends, and very grateful for you all as well. So thank you so much, Sharonan, as well. And we'll see you all next week.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.